one of the biggest things that I've preached and been seen preaching is we've changed our perspective on how cybersecurity works. It's not that defense in depth is dead. I'll say it quite often. I'll never take away from doing defense in depth or doing FISMA or audits or controls of that nature. But audit by visibility is what we call it. But it's really changing security from being, oh, these are the requirements and these are the pieces you have to go. But I accept that users are going to screw up. I accept that users are going to make mistakes. And I accept that business is going to trump security. So I go by visibility and create security controls to let me know when things are not the way they're supposed to be. I look for behavior changes. Insider threat is a huge thing right now with Snowden and Manning. We essentially took the insider threat concept and turned it into looking for adversaries as well.
Let me turn to Paul Wynn, the president of CSG Invitas. Paul, you guys helped OPM kind of move to this real-time data environment. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing. How do you guys help them and as well as some other government clients moved in this direction?
When we look at the problem set, I think when we look at real-time monitoring is one component of understanding your situational awareness of what attacks are happening. Where we fit in is how do you turn that data into action and how do you react and respond faster? I think the realization is that there's so many attacks happening right now, whether they are intentional or unintentional from your users, as Jeff said, our people just can't keep up with the volume anymore, and that needle in the haystack that may be that impactful incident is sneaking through. So we're using automation and orchestration with OPM to try to, one, fully leverage his resources so that, let's say, for example, if an analyst can only handle 100 events, we want to automate so that they can handle 200 events, right, to get a higher efficiency in terms of their time, in terms of the resources, as well as being more effective in the risk mitigation side. So this is a relatively new concept, but I think the problem is we are seeing more attacks, and how do you keep up with them? That's a key challenge today.
One of the things is the data overload. You just went from 100 attacks to 200 attacks, and that's still a ton of data. How are you helping OPM and other agencies kind of overcome that data overload? Because you can get just buried in the data and never find the so-called needle in the haystack.
So we want to make sure that we are taking action on the right events. You're dealing with thousands and thousands of events that may not be important events, but we want to get to the point of acting on intelligence in terms of the right type of event at the right time and the right priority. So our goal is to help get the events, contextualize them to say this is a very serious threat that is a high impact to your environment. This needs to go to the top. And what we want to do is give them control so that they can put the actions into place quickly to remediate the issue. And that involves anything from firewall blocks to quarantining users to kicking off user accounts that might have been compromised. So there's a complexity around not just the data, but also our technology environment. We're introducing mobile phones. We're increasing what I call the attack surface. So as the complexity of the IT environment grows, the complexity around responding becomes even a bigger challenge. So unifying the data at the right time for the user to make a decision and then ultimately act by reaching into your technology stack and reconfiguring them so you can contain and eradicate the attack quickly. It's all about reaction time and how do you get there a lot faster than you are today manually. I mean, because it is a manually intensive process.
Jeff, let me turn to you. Everything that Paul says is great. Sounds wonderful on paper. You actually have to make this work in reality. And how are you reacting in real time? How are you using all that data and then saying, okay, there's our problem or there's our set of problems that we need to address today?
And one of the problems that agencies and government groups or whoever has in trying to track this stuff or do these things or best leverage orchestration is they really don't know what they need. What we look for and what we do is we flowchart everything. I've told the guys, put things in flowcharts, and if it can be flowcharted, it can be automated. If it's not flowcharted, it won't be followed. Because if you can't follow a flowchart or your process cannot be flowcharted, then it's not a process. Simplify your process as much as possible. Once you get that, you can actually look through your flowchart and start to say, where can I leverage orchestration? Where can I stop having humans do simple things? Things like infected users is a perfect example of something that can easily be flowcharted. We have all the tools, everyone has all the tools to identify an infected user. But now what do? I mean, you start to send tickets out everywhere. Hey, can you run and do this? Can you run and do that? Orchestration is a point in which we get identify a user's infected. It can get the orchestration can create the ticket for it. I can alert the help desk. I can then issue a reimage command. I can kick the user off the network. These are the kind of things in which you can do instantaneously so an infected user doesn't infect the environment. It protects the enterprise instantaneously, and it notifies everybody at the same time. So it's one of those perfect examples of orchestration. One point I do want to bring up is we keep talking about, you know, cybersecurity, and believe me, I'm a huge preacher of cybersecurity. But orchestration is really one of those things for CIOs in general to look for to leverage the most they need to do. We're not looking for CSG simply to do cybersecurity. We're looking for orchestration of any flow chart or process that can be simplified because CSG is agnostic. It connects to everything. It's already connected to my remedies server. So why can't the asset cage, as they barcode and put into a spreadsheet all the tags they have, and then they have to, instead of manually entering this into Remedy, why don't I just feed CSG the spreadsheet and it populates Remedy with everything it needs? When you're looking at orchestration, it's not just cybersecurity, it's across the board.
We hear a lot about real-time data and the benefits that it brings to cybersecurity and how you improve cybersecurity. And that's the whole basis in many sense of the continuous monitoring and the continuous diagnostics and mitigation effort. I mean, you guys are actually using real-time data to improve cybersecurity. Just give me a sense of how that works and how you got into it.
During the time in which we were dealing with some issues from the outside, we recognized two very important facts. One, we needed far more staff to deal with incidents and things of that nature. And when we run into an issue, it was very hard to leverage the tools we had individually to achieve success. So we recognized, and we've been working for a very long time now, that we work off the document, automate, and repeat process where we document everything, automate everything, and then repeat it as needed in a regular module. A lot of people don't realize OPM is considered a fairly large agency, but we're actually extremely small, and so my staff is incredibly limited. I only have about 8 engineers for the entire enterprise. So a lot of it, I pitch automation not just for simplification, but also for the fact that I can now leverage senior engineers, because my junior engineers, not that they're not needed, I have junior engineers, but it gives me more leverage to not only train up junior engineers to become senior engineers, but my senior engineers can be senior engineers instead of chasing problems.
Did something specifically happen, or did you just see the increase in threats, increase in attacks that made you say, we got to do something different?
OPM received a credible report that there was an adversary that had potentially breached OPM's perimeter. It was in the news. Really can't discuss a whole lot about it, but we did find an adversary that reached our perimeter, and we did what everyone else does. We started going to instant response mode. We did our approach here a little bit differently. Our orchestration, our tools, and our processes that were in place allowed us to do it in a way that a lot of people are afraid to do. We actually worked to leverage our tools to watch what the adversary was doing instead of just turning things off. In doing so, we were able to find real brand new vulnerabilities and brand new malware that nobody had found yet. And because we had the tools and we were able to get the signatures, DHS and other agencies were able to send those signatures out across the gov since we were able to find them.
Give me a sense, when you talk to other government clients, are they ready for this type of approach, whether it's orchestration, as Jeff described it, or just more about the real-time, making decisions based on data and then getting even more data, or what needs to be done?
The first step is certainly what you've brought up, which is the real-time monitoring, right? So you have to know that an attack is happening. I think most agencies are now realizing that they can't keep up because there's limited money, there's limited staff, and they need to get more out of their resources. So I think the mindset has certainly changed. I think 2014 was a big year for security, where there was a lot more awareness from the media driving cybersecurity as a very important element, both on the private sector and the public sector. So I think the government clients that we're talking to, they're ready for it. They need to get the most out of their investments in terms of technologies, people, and the time that's being spent. So we're right on the front edge of, I think, a revolution in the security market, that compliance isn't enough. We have to really get to real operational security, and this is a key component around incident response.
Jeff, I started the conversation talking about continuous monitoring, CDM program. You guys are in that group B of the continuous monitoring. How does this technology fit within that CDM, that continuous monitoring effort that's happening from DHS, and more broadly what OPM is doing?
So we are in 2B, and 2B is to be awarded hopefully at the end of this month. I'm really excited about getting DHS in here and start getting CDM online, because to me it's just yet another avenue in which, as I've said before, I think the federal government is finally taking cybersecurity seriously, and the compliance and the tools, the dashboards that DHS wants to take over and report on and everything else. They can report all my FISMA and compliance stuff as much as possible. I mean, it's just one more thing that I'm going to leverage in order to try to use my engineers to the best of what I need them to do.
How does this fit in with that? Because the idea behind this, as you guys have described it, is real-time monitoring. So in many ways, it is meeting sometimes the goal, the spirit, the intent.
Well, the CDM is meeting a lot of the spirit and intent to do orchestration, but it's orchestration to look at specific controls that to report for CyberScope and things of that nature. I think I can take my orchestration and feed DHS even more information, or better, more poignant information. I can, when we get alerts, we see different things now in real time. I can do the cyber US cert reports instantaneously right from the orchestration. So going back to the infected user, one of the steps is we email US cert. So creating the templates, we can do that outright. CDM is going to give us those cyber stat and FISMA controls and everything else. And it's a great first step, and DHS is pushing that into place, feeding DHS a lot of other information. I would love to. I think I see them moving more into the centralized SOC view, which is what we kind of really need in a large deal. But we're seeing a lot of stuff down on the deck plates that, you know, CDM isn't even looking at. So, and not from a fault of CDM, it's just that's not the scope or the purpose at this time.